Good morning. Welcome to Husky Nation News, right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn newspaper, The Daily Campus. I'm your host, Kara Murray, and here's the news of the University of Connecticut from this week. Our top story this week is the official announcement of Thomas C. Katsoulias as the university's 16th president. Daily Campus correspondent Rachel Grella writes that Katsoulias will replace UConn's current president, Susan Herbst. Katsoulias comes from a scientific background, working as a plasma physicist and engineer. He has also worked as both a physics professor and a researcher. It's these experiences in higher education that many students find add to his credibility. Omar Tawe, an 8th semester senior physiology and neurobiology major, said he initially thought Katsoulias was a safe bet, but is excited by his previous work and devotion to scientific research. Katsoulias will take over for Herbst on August 1, 2019. Students who enjoy using the university's lecture halls and classrooms after hours will have more difficulty doing so this semester. Daily Campus correspondent Nayla Suleiman writes that according to UConn spokeswoman Stephanie Reitz, classrooms often have valuable technology that can be broken, and the university has to control and monitor the use of the rooms to ensure the items are safe and in good operating order. Reitz says that everything in the classrooms are programmed to shut down at 11 p.m., and many rooms have a video feed, allowing UConn staff to immediately see when something has been turned on. Students caught in the classrooms after hours will receive a verbal warning to leave, and if they refuse, UConn police will come escort them back to their dorms. Second semester biology major, Brittany Jimena, disagrees with the university's policy for these situations. She says that if a classroom isn't being used for academic purposes by a professor or a club, then students should be able to take advantage of the vacancies. UConn debuted Horticulture of Cannabis from Seed to Harvest this semester, a class that covers the complete growing cycle of cannabis and demonstrates some of the challenges associated with growing the plant. According to Daily Campus correspondent Ashley Anglisano, the class filled up quickly and has an enrollment of over 300 students. The instructor, Matthew DiBacco, says he structured the course as a flipped classroom method of instruction. Students spend 30 minutes working in breakout sessions to answer questions, and DiBacco spends the remaining time reviewing their answers. Seventh semester sustainable plant and soil systems major Madison Blake says she is passionate about cannabis education and hopes students taking the class will leave with a real understanding of what cannabis is and is not, and an idea of the systems and practices required to grow such a demanding and important plant. The UConn Foundation is now accepting applications for a new student director. Daily Campus correspondent Eliane Lesko reports that intent to run forms can be found on the UConn Vote website and are due at noon on February 8th. Some required tasks for the position include working with UConn Foundation directors and staff to help with UConn fundraising and alumni engagement efforts, informing the student body of the happenings of the foundation, and educating students on the importance of remaining engaged with UConn once they graduate. The student director is also responsible for meeting with guest speakers and visitors, working closely with UConn administration, and attending UConn and UConn Foundation events and activities throughout the year as a student body representative. The position would allow the student to gain experience while working on their professional network and developing relationships with the members of the board. Finally, our very own news correspondent, Allie Urban, took a poll this week to see just how many students have had their umbrellas ruined by the heavy wind and rain UConn gets. Take a listen.
UConn's trash receptacles played host to numerous broken and subsequently discarded umbrellas last Thursday, January 24th. Thanks to the strong winds constantly swirling around campus that day, many umbrellas are, ironically, unusable during rainy weather, to the dismay of students who chose to use them. Due to UConn's size, it may take students quite a while to traverse the campus when walking from class to class, or to and from their dorms. The walk from Towers dorms to the center of campus is certainly a hike. The same goes for people living in Charter Oak Apartments, or the Oaks. It's even worse when one's classes are all over campus. Add a heavy downpour and unrelenting wind, and there's a recipe for a miserable commute to class. Although the UConn bus system is an option, not everyone opts to use it. Many students choose to brave the weather and hope that their laptops, notes, and other electronics won't get soaked in a raging monsoon, even with umbrellas. UConn bookstore manager Leonard Oser says, "We do get a spike in umbrella sales when it rains, mostly from people that have forgotten to take one to class or work. We might sell a few dozen when it rains that hard." In order to get more insight about the mangled umbrella epidemic, a poll was conducted on the student Facebook group, Buy or Sell UConn Tickets. The two questions asked in this poll were whether or not the student's umbrella broke, and if the student purchased an umbrella from the Yukon Bookstore or Student Union Convenience Store, with yes and no options for each. The results of the poll are as follows. 84 people answered yes to their umbrella being broken, and 40 answered no. 9 answered yes to buying a new umbrella, and 86 answered no. Additionally, students added a few of their own rather comical categories as answers. UConn student Sadie Rumsey added the most popular vote, which was, "I learned many moons ago that umbrellas are useless on this campus." This option received 209 votes. Another said, "Buy an inside-out umbrella, so when the wind flips it, it's just almost closed." Outside the scope of student reactions, trashed umbrellas also pose an impact on the environment. Modern umbrellas are generally made from nylon, stainless steel, and plastic, according to umbrella components. They could also contain aluminum, fiberglass, wood, or carbon parts. According to Green Choices, nylon is non-biodegradable, and nylon manufacture creates nitrous oxide, a greenhouse gas 310 times more potent than carbon dioxide. On the other hand, stainless steel has theoretically 100% recyclability, and its long-term life makes it an ideal environmental performer, much better than many other materials, writes the British Stainless Steel Association. In order to combat unfavorable environmental effects, numerous companies such as Brelli and Shedrain have created eco-friendly umbrellas. Brelli describes their umbrellas as being able to biodegrade in aerobic and anaerobic landfill environments. In an aerobic landfill, it will biodegrade as twigs and leaves do. Ultimately, although bad weather causes many umbrellas to retire to the graveyard, companies are offering more options to reduce the carbon footprint left by these rain-repellent devices. For WHUS News, I'm Allie Urban.
And that's all the news we have this week. We'll now be going into a short break before starting the talk segment of our show, where we'll be talking with my fellow Husky Nation news host, LJ Karam.
Hi everyone, this is Javon sending greetings from UConn Women's Center. Our mission at the center is to advocate, educate, and provide a variety of support services geared towards the achievement of gender equity at the university and within the community at large. We provide a safe and welcoming space for all, yes men, even you, to enjoy. We provide all of this while maintaining open-mindedness and showing respect for all in times of crisis as well as in day-to-day interactions. Our doors are open between the hours of 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Mondays through Thursdays and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Fridays. We are located on the fourth floor of the Student Union, so please feel free to stop on by, even if it's just to say hello. To find out more about our events or just more information, you can check out our website at www.womenscenter.ucon.edu. Thanks for listening.
And we are back from that short break. We'll now be moving into the discussion segment of our new show. Please note, from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. I'm in the studio with LJ Karam. LJ, your mic is on.
Oh, yes.
Hey, girl.
What's up?
Not much.
Can you hear me in the thing?
Yes. Can you hear me in the thing? I'll turn your mic up.
Oh. Okay, now yeah. I can. Okay, am I just not talking?
I'm in control here, LJ.
Okay, just let me know if I'm not talking loud enough.
Nah, you're good, son.
I never had that problem, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd be very startled if you had that issue.
All right. So.
Jinx, steal me a soda. Just kidding, I don't like
soda. What's up, Kara? How you doing?
Not much. You know what I realized? Your last name is spelled K-A-R-A-M.
Yes.
And that's like Kara M, which is my name and my last name. First initial of my last name. Mind blown.
I took a pause before I tried to figure out what I was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Kara, I recently had a dream.
Yeah, tell everybody about your dream.
To tell you about.
Waking up to this text, everybody, was excellent.
I sent that text, like, very early in the morning, because when I woke up, I was, like, in awe that I, like, had that dream and that I remembered it.
Yeah, it was very, I think I woke up at, like, 7:45, 8 o'clock, and you had texted me about 20 minutes before, and I was like, wow, she's awake.
I was getting, ready for floral art class.
Ooh, pretty.
Yeah. Made my foliage arrangement.
Cute.
Looks great.
Cute.
I'm really trying to avoid, like, cussing by accident. Okay, so, in my dream, Kara and I are, in a CVS. could be any CVS, relatively nondescript location, but still nevertheless a CVS. And Kara is in the process of buying Chunky Monkey Ben and Jerry's ice cream. That's not product placement, it was just in my dream.
Mm-hmm.
As I think as we're in the checkout line or going to check out, we bump into someone that my subconscious only recognizes as Democratic 2020 presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren, dressed in an all-white pantsuit.
Oh, you didn't say that in the message.
Oh, no, I didn't, yeah.
Wow.
But it happened, yeah. And I don't even remember what she was talking to us about. I don't remember what she was buying. I think it might have been like a greeting card or something. Maybe it was a sympathy card. I don't know.
Did she lose somebody in her life, I wonder?
Don't do this.
let's really go into dream Elizabeth Warren's life. I want to know more.
Let's not. You've seen Inception, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, no, that never goes well.
That's true.
But yeah, so I think the moral of the story is that I have no idea what this means for the future of our country.
I think I do, and this is what I said in the message. I think it means Murray Karam 20-something, and that was a sign. Or Karam Murray. That would really be my name, and that's really cool. Can you see either of us as president? Yeah, I am. I really am.
I couldn't see myself as president.
Vice?
No.
You didn't want to join, like, Dick Cheney in the ranks of vice president?
No.
Can't imagine why.
But yeah, no, the thing about my dreams is that they're, like, extremely hyper-realistic, mm-hmm. So, I have dreams that are like, oh, I was eating carrot sticks in the dining hall today.
Whoa.
And then, like, if I go downstairs to the dining hall and they, like, have, this is when I, of course, lived on campus like a peasant.
Like a plebe.
And
as I say, living on campus.
Well, living off campus, I have no food.
That's
so who
true.
Is the plebe
That's very
here?
True.
And if they had carrots in the dining hall, I, like, predicted my own future, essentially. So that means that if you go to CVS and you buy Chunky Monkey ice cream, that I become a prophet.
Yeah. Chunky Monkey has the banana in it, though, right?
Maybe. Are you allergic to it? Do you not like bananas?
No, I love bananas. I just am not sure I would want it in ice cream.
It might be, like, I don't know if it's bananas. It might be, like, a peanut butter chocolate thing.
Oh, if it is, then I would definitely buy it. But if it's got banana in it, I don't think I want my banana and ice cream to mix.
I'm a Americone dream.
Is that the Stephen
Colbert one?
Stephen Colbert
yeah.
one? That's a good one. That's a good one. I'm a big fan of The Tonight Dough, which is Jimmy
Ooh,
Fallon's.
Yes.
We love a talk show host theme. And I also really like Half Baked because it's basically the same as the Jimmy Fallon one.
I've never had that one. My mom's favorite is Cherry Garcia, so that's all I had when I was like
Everyone really likes that one. It's cherry, right?
Yes.
Hence the name. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about cherry-flavored. Because that's more like sorbet, I guess, right? It's cherry-flavored
no,
ice cream.
No. You're completely misunderstanding.
Am I going completely left field here?
It is vanilla base. It's vanilla base
oh.
ice cream.
Oh.
Maybe a little bit of almond, but I don't know if
oh.
that's... No, trust me, it's delicious.
Okay.
It's vanilla base ice cream that has, like, cherries in it.
Oh, yeah, I was really off.
I think the Dairy Bar has, like, a similar flavor to it. They have, like, a cherry, almond, whatever, and you can get it in, like, a milkshake, and it's delicious.
Any Cherry Garcia purists listening, I'm very sorry.
How could you?
I'm uneducated.
How could you?
Here's the real question. How do you feel about mint chocolate chip ice cream?
I thought you were going to ask me about Elizabeth Warren.
We can get back to that later. This is a more important discussion.
I love mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't like mint, so I don't know, okay. The idea, I don't like Thin Mints either. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So you must, well, so do you dislike peppermint stick ice cream?
Yes.
More than mint chocolate chip?
I've never had either, but I know that I probably wouldn't like it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's my fatal flaw.
Yeah, no, I love mint chocolate chip ice cream, but that's because I have an affinity for, like, the chunks
mm-hmm.
of the chips. Like,
chunks.
I die for, like, not a chocolate chip, but, like, a chocolate chip ice cream, which is literally just chunks of chocolate and vanilla ice cream.
True.
I like crunching on, like, the dark chocolate.
Like the texture.
Yeah.
Put some interesting flavors into your ice cream.
I won't lie, though. That Talenti, like, gelato.
Oh, the gelato. Yeah, that stuff's supposed to be really good.
Oh, my God. I think I still have a pint of it in my friend's freezer, I think. Like, two floors above me in my apartment building.
Dig in. My roommate and I were in...
text my friend right now.
We were in Target the other day, and we were going over whether or not we wanted to buy ice cream because my roommate was like, oh, I don't want to keep it in the house because then I'm just going to eat all of it. But I was like, you know what? We are usually very good about eating ice cream. Let's just do it. Let's get it. And we finished it in, like, a couple days because we got the Ben & Jerry's little pints.
Delicious.
But it was... did not go to waste. Oh, they were tasty.
Have you ever had the core ones?
Yes.
Okay, the caramel one really just, like, ends me.
God tier.
It's even worse because, like, I love, like, caramel, like, sauce. Not sauce, like a runny sauce, but, like, a thick,
Yeah.
You dip apples in it or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
My God.
That stuff's so good.
Quintessential New England, like, experience.
Very true.
Oh, God, what's wrong with us? We're liberal elite.
We're preppy. We're preppy New Englanders.
I eat around the core so that
you
can
just
eat
get
the core, like,
nothing interfering.
Yeah.
That's
galaxy
brain right there. Bad.
It's, dude, my mom, I remember, had like a tube of like squeezable like caramel like, dip or sauce or whatever for apples. You're supposed to like eat it with apples.
Just squeeze it right into your mouth. Is that what you did?
Yeah. That's exactly what I did.
Of course it is.
I had like a really big problem like growing up with just like you know, whipped cream in the mouth.
Yeah.
The caramel sauce in the mouth.
Yeah.
I have like I'm obsessed with like sour foods.
Interesting.
Like, I will eat like my mouth is just like tingling at the thought of it. Just like eating like three Warheads like at
tinglies.
A time. Like,
sorry, everyone.
Warheads
that was
usually
weird.
Like destroy people. Like I can have like three or four in my mouth at the
same
time.
Wow. You've built up an immunity.
Pretty much, yeah. I think I only eat extreme Sour Patch Kids. But, like, that tolerance developed because when I was younger, I used to be obsessed with Italian dressing.
Oh, no.
And, like, my mom put an embargo on the Italian dressing. She was like, Laura Jo, that's my government name.
Laura Jo!
You're not allowed to eat, like, have any Italian dressing because she knows that I would just drink it from
what
the bottle.
What
like
a weird thing to ban from a child.
I know.
What a weird thing to say. Kids are like... most parents like to their kids, you're not allowed to have any dessert, no TV. Laura Jo, stop eating that Italian dressing. I'm going to take that bottle away from you.
I was literally drinking the Italian dressing.
That's... honestly, that makes sense for you.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But anyways, so there's more of a story. Like, my mom, she, like, kept, like, a close eye on me, like, at all times when I was around the fridge. Mm-hmm. She's like, she's going for that Italian dressing.
I
was, like,
I know it.
I was, like, 9 or 10, probably.
And this wasn't even as a little baby. This was, like, adolescent. Yeah, that's adolescence.
Adolescent. I got my period when I was 10.
Really?
I said that on the air.
Really?
Listen, people should be more open about talking
I know, we
about
should be talking about this. I got
anyways.
Mine the summer before 7th grade, so I guess I would have been 11?
Okay, I got mine on July 3rd.
Wow,
because it was a day before the 4th of July.
Yeah, that's an easy way to remember.
Yeah, I recently celebrated the 10-year anniversary of my period.
Oh my goodness.
But anyways, so she's monitoring the fridge, but then she, like, takes a phone call, because you know we had landlines back in the day.
Yeah, early 2000s.
She, like, takes, a call on the landline, like, goes into the other room, like, pulling the phone cord behind her, you know how it is.
So you snuck a quick swig.
Yes, opportunity. I grabbed the Italian dressing from the fridge and I hid behind like a TV cabinet, like in between like a TV cabinet and like a wall that I had like in my family room, like living room or whatever. And my mom caught me like squatting like in the corner of like this room, hidden, like obscured by furniture, just drinking the Italian dressing.
No dignity whatsoever.
She slapped me so hard, Kara. She was so mad.
And I told you no Italian dressing.
Well, that stuff's really bad for your stomach. Like,
yeah.
Sour food is not good for your, like, intestinal lining, which is why, like, as a 21-year-old girl, I have to eat Pepcid. Take Pepcid.
Wow.
I have to take prescription Pepcid. It's, like, four times the normal dosage of normal Pepcid.
Wow. Wow.
Genetics.
Wow. Is that genetics, or is that you just...
No, it actually is genetics. Oh, okay. It really runs in my family. My uncle got his first ulcer when he was 17.
Young and sweet, only 17. No. Okay, I won't try. Okay. Well, anyway.
Yeah, talking about weird food habits.
Yeah. See,
did you like doing any weird like food things when you were a kid?
Okay, this isn't a food habit. This is kind of the opposite. But when I was little, I was a really picky eater. And I was so picky that I really wouldn't eat anything besides cereal and like mac and cheese and stuff. And so, for some reason, my parents never really pushed it. They were like, whatever. So then, they took me to the doctor one day, and the doctor was like, she's not thriving. Like, this is failure to thrive. Because I was so underweight, and I was so small. And the doctor was like, you need to make her eat. Are you not feeding her? My parents were like, well, she just doesn't eat. And the doctor was like, so make her eat. Yeah, like, what?
What are you going to do about it?
And I wasn't even the first kid. I was the second kid.
She's a child. She's a human being, not a Tamagotchi.
Yeah, so I always like to remind them that they're why I turned out so weird. They just didn't take care of me right. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
They're like, well, she doesn't want to eat.
Yeah, they were like, okay, she's an independent human being. She can make her own decisions. She's 4.
So no, she doesn't want to eat. She's going on a hunger strike.
Yeah, I was already a social activist back then.
Oh, my
already
God.
Protesting.
Enough!
Good stuff.
Wow. Dude, one of my cousins, she is in 8th grade now, I think. So she's probably around, like, 12 or 13 years old. I remember when she was born. So, like, I remember when my aunt would take me around with her, like, in the car. Like, she was, like, my cousin Jade. Like, she was a baby. And, like, I mean, baby, relative term, she was, like, 5 or 6. Like, a young child. And, like, she would literally only eat chicken nuggets. And now, I mean, time has passed. But, like, she's still a teenager. It's not like she's a sophisticated palate. Like me.
Yes.
Karen knows this well. I'm a foodie.
Yeah, she is.
Yikes.
A foodie.
But she really, I mean, like, it hurts my little heart when she's real picky. Like, she doesn't really eat, like, Chinese food.
That's tragic.
It, like, makes me really sad. That's my racial ethnic background, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm a Chinese-American woman.
Love that for her.
Chinese-Lebanese-American woman.
That's a really good segue, because LJ...
Here I am.
Though she has been a part of...
Oh, God!
WHUS News for as long as I can remember...
Longer than you.
Yeah. She has never written an article until now.
Yeah.
She wrote a concert review about Japanese breakfast, and I read it today, and it really tugged at my old heartstrings, I gotta say.
That's good to hear.
It was really great. I was going to comment on the post, but I couldn't figure out what to say without sounding weird.
Do any of those posts have comments on them?
Like, I mean, like, your Facebook post.
Oh, okay. I was like, if you can comment on the website.
You can. You can, actually. I was reading them, because I got login credentials today.
I did, too, yeah.
I was so excited. So now, we have bylines instead of just the news desk. It's, like, Kara Murray and LJ Karam, so that's pretty cool. Very official.
Yeah, so my concert review is called... It's on the front page, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Woo. It's called Representation Matters. Ah.
Yeah, I do.
It's a concert review of Japanese breakfast at the Space Ballroom in Hamden, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
I went to go see her July, good lord. January.
You've been sitting on that review for a long time.
I think January 16th I went to go see her.
Nice.
She was phenomenal. It was the second time I'd seen her. You know, WHUSers may be familiar with this. She came to the Spring Fling here at WHUS at the Space Ballroom. The Student Union Ballroom. 2 years ago, she was kind of like the undercard for Porches, and I got to meet her because she
Porches
was at her own.
Here.
Yeah, Porches came here.
Was I there?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't know.
No, I was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like,
I
ships
have...
in the night. We pass. Wow. But yeah, so she was doing her own. She was doing her own merch table.
Okay.
And I had been like plucking up the courage because I had heard her music before, so I was like plucking up the courage to like go say hi to her. The band is called Japanese Breakfast. Michelle Zahner, the front woman, is Korean. More specifically, her mother is Korean. She's mixed race, and she was doing her own merch table, and she had written an article recently for Glamour.com that like had won like an essay contest award. And it was about, because it was about her mother struggling, like, she had to take care of her mother when her mother was diagnosed with cancer, and she essentially, like, had to watch her mother, like, die.
Aww.
Depressing,
yeah.
But, like,
wow.
It was a really important part of, reconnecting with her Korean heritage because her mother never taught her how to cook Korean food, but they always ate it together.
Mm-hmm.
And then as she watched her mother, like, get more sick, her mother, like, wouldn't be able to keep Korean food, like, in her stomach. So she had to, like, she could barely even, like, eat white rice. And so the essay was about Michelle Zahner finding this adorable little Korean woman named Mangchi on YouTube. I highly recommend you check her out. She cooks the best Korean food. She's awesome.
Love that.
And it was about, like, contacting this woman and, like, getting in touch with her and, like, watching all of her YouTube videos and just, like, reconnecting with her mother through this other, like, Korean woman, like, from YouTube. And it was beautiful. I talked to her for, like, a little bit about it. I thought I was going to pee my pants when I talked to her.
That's,
I was, like,
so cool.
Shaking. But, like, she's so cool. And, yeah, my friend bought me the space ballroom tickets for my birthday. And she was phenomenal. She was amazing. It was, like, amazing. Sick, like, because she actually does, like, look a little bit like me. Like, if you look at her Instagram,
are we
you're
related?
Like, okay, you just could kind of be related.
Not to flex, like, but we kind of look alike.
She's awesome. She's so cool, and I named one of my guitars after her, Michelle.
I read that little tidbit.
Yeah, she's a white Gretsch, semi-hollow body, electric guitar, lover.
That means zero to me, because I don't know guitars.
Well, listen, someone listening might be like, oh, yeah.
If my dad's listening, he'll know, maybe.
Oh, that's adorable. My dad listens sometimes when I do the hosting thing.
So does mine. I have to let them know.
Yeah.
Okay, probably will.
but, yeah, no, it was really, like, amazing to see her up on stage, because a lot of her music is about, I mean, anyone, because it's, a lot of her music is about, like, experiencing, like, love and loss and things like that. Mm-hmm. Her previous album, I think the first Japanese Breakfast album, Psycho Pomp, was a lot about her mourning period, like, after her mother's death. And then the second album, Soft Sounds from Another Planet, is her kind of, like, getting over that mourning period, and she's writing more songs about, her relationship, like, with her husband, who's also in her band, who had great energy during the
goals.
Show. He was awesome.
Couple goals.
And, yeah, but the thing is that she writes, I feel like she writes her music in a way that is very, tinged by her experience, like, living as an Asian American woman. Like, she has a song, Boyish, which is one of the singles off the album, and it's kind of about, like, how, because her husband is white, it's kind of about, like, how when an Asian American woman kind of enters into a relationship, like, with a white man or, like, a white person, they kind of feel like, are they just dating me, like, because of my race, or are they, mm-hmm. like, are they even attracted to me at all, like, and, like, the insecurities that you feel when compared to, like, people who are of, like, you know, Anglo-Saxon, European, like, beauty standards.
Yeah.
Sorry,
totally
Kara.
It's okay. It's okay.
But, yeah, so that's a sick song.
That's
She's
cool.
A couple other songs there about, like, mourning the death of her mother, which are, you know, pretty sick.
Yeah.
I hate that I described that was just pretty sick, but, like, the songs are amazing.
Grief?
Pretty sick. No,
pretty,
like,
sicko mode, yo.
Don't.
I'll see myself out
but,
now.
But, yeah, no, so the show was amazing. I cried several times.
That's, that means it was really good then.
I low-key ditched the friends that I came with and, like, tried to get as close to the stage as I could. She kept looking at
himself.
Me. She, like, kept staring at me.
She
I
was like,
no.
Do I look like that girl? Or is it just me?
There were a lot of, like, indie Asian girls at the show.
Oh, boy.
Who were, like, all dressed like me, and they all brought their, like, white boyfriends.
Cute. Love that. Love that.
So,
I haven't been to a good concert in a while. Since October, I don't think.
What concert was it?
It was Hippocampus.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
It was in New Haven.
Stuff.
It was the best. Yeah, it was so much fun. Great times. And yeah, I really want to start going to more concerts, but transportation, tickets.
Gets you every time.
Friends who don't share my music taste. Yikes. Several tragic factors, but I digress. And I think we're out of time now on that wonderful note of me just complaining. But thank you so much, LJ, for speaking with me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, no, it's dope.
And thank you for listening in on this show.
Jeez.
Thank you to the Daily Campus for collaborating with us. And thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I've been your host, Kara Murray, and you are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Have a great day.
You're...